And we are live, I
We are
think.
live, yes.
Hooray! Peeling potatoes 28 on the
5th of December.
5th of December. Do you? Tomorrow's the 6th of December. Do you celebrate St. Nicholas in South Africa? You don't have any idea what
No.
that's in it? No, okay.
No. No. We do have another holiday on the 16th of December, but that's something else.
Well, here's something. Maybe I should tell this your son. If tonight he puts his shoe, and it's got to be a very, very clean shoe. It's got to be
He
well.
has a pair of those, yes.
Okay. If he puts one shoe outside his bedroom door, this is an old German tradition. So it's outside his bedroom door, and he's been a good kid. Then St. Nick, I don't have to look that skeptical.
I'm processing, I'm waiting.
St. Nicholas will come by, and if he's been a good kid, we'll leave him something, a toy or something to snack on.
That's easy.
And if he's been a bad kid, a bag of charcoal.
Oh, he knows about the charcoal.
He knows about the charcoal, yeah?
Yes.
Okay. So that's what I did when I was a kid. I was
Wonder if I put in charcoal, if you will know. Won't do that, I promise.
and the anticipation, of course, is great. And so I would wake, a little bit older than Aiden is now, and I would
Yes.
wake up and sat on the Sunday morning. I think we did it actually in our household when I was kid. We did it every Advent Saturday, Sunday. I can't actually remember. And sometimes my mother would forget,
Oh.
and I would crawl out of bed, dash to the bedroom door, and find that the shoe was empty, and then I would be a little bit, I can't remember what,
Disappointed.
I can't re yeah, disappointed. I can't remember what I did. Maybe I took it with grace, which I don't think I would have done. Anyway, have you found your elf, by the way?
No, but I think I know where it is.
Okay.
It's in the box with the Christmas tree. And no, our Christmas tree is still not up. That is on tonight's to-do list.
It's on
So
tonight's to
tonight,
do. Oh,
yes, the three of us will sit down and build our Christmas tree and decorate the Christmas tree tonight.
brilliant. Okay.
Yes.
I think else will.
But before we open the box, I need to dig through it to see if Elf is in there.
It is only the 5th of December, and Christmas stress has already begun. Yeah. Is it
Not
is.
really stress, not really stress. I think so every year we put up the Christmas tree on the 30th of November or sometimes a week before that even. But I think this year we've just been running around, just been busy. And so Aiden, or my son, was visiting last weekend, so he wasn't home, and that's why we didn't put it up.
Fair enough.
So this
All right.
weekend, we'll do that.
Okay. So we are going to talk about your running
Yes.
feats. Not FEETS, but FEATS.
Yes.
Because last Saturday sort of was the culmination of 4 weeks of intense training,
Yes.
and you wrote a a lot of articles in the Pineapple, sort of to share your
Experience,
experiences,
process.
successes, the joys, tribulations, etc.,
Yes.
in getting all this done. And then the day came, and there is a, I'm not going to put a spoiler alert in here or spoiler. The day came, and there is a result which I will let you share with everybody else.
Yes.
It's got a bit quiet since then, but I think you're still recuperating. But you did publish something in the Pineapple this morning, which I have not read because I've been running around like a headless chicken.
Yes.
And it's called The Color Run.
Yes.
So let's start with the most basic and fundamental of all questions. Why is it called The Color Run? Let's keep it simple.
Let's keep it simple. So every year we have our church Christmas market sometime in November. Sometimes at the start of November, the middle or the end, it just depends on some dates. And every year they host a color run. So it's a 2.5 or a 5 kilometer color run. You can either walk it or run it. You can go as a family. You can go as an individual. There's people this year that actually took their dogs with them. So afterwards, you can see all these colorful little dogs on leashes, pinks and blues and yellows, and that was quite entertaining. But I don't know how they're going to clean those dogs because some of them has quite long hair. But anyways, and you mentioned earlier about India, where they also throw the colorful powder when they have some celebrations or things. So I think the powder that they use, the color powder, is very similar to that. So what they do, this was actually a second color run I did. Previous one was at a different school as a fundraiser, but many years ago, I think I was 25.
Okay.
And that was about 10 years ago.
Now.
So they, at the starting point, they start throwing you with different colored powder. So people would just walk past and then they will throw the powder. You don't even see them coming as a surprise. And yes. So you are already covered in powder once you start running. And then there was eight points where they had like color stations and they had different colors. So one station was yellow, one orange, one pink, one blue. There was a green and a purple as well. And then they repeat some of the colors, like yellows or pinks, depending on how much powder they have. But they have a lot. So they have them in bottles that almost look like a ketchup bottle. Yes, and then they would squeeze it and spray you full of this powdered color.
And of course, they did not respect that women are very sensitive about getting such stuff in their hair. So did you
That and they don't consider personal space. They would come as close to you as possible to throw you full of color. Hair, face, everywhere, clothes.
How long did it take you to get the color out of your hair?
That was actually quite quickly. So after the run, when I took a shower, I washed my hair and it came out. But some colors that I've noticed in some places, I still had a blue patch, or I still had a yellow patch, or but only in some places. I don't know why. But my face was clean. I didn't have any color left in my face, but I think that is because I applied a sunscreen before. So that was kind of like a barrier. So when I washed my face, it came off. But some parts, like my arms, my legs, my toes were still full of color. They were purple and blue and green.
And you were wearing running shoes, and the color managed to get through the shoes, through the socks,
Into it.
into the
Yes.
toes. That's
Yes.
I mean, the color was inspired. When it, I'm going to get through to her toes, even if it's the last thing I
Yes.
do on this planet. Yeah,
Yes.
I mean, and get squashed to death as I forward. Okay.
Yes.
So I wonder what it's like, if you're a little strand of color. I wonder if from that color's perspective, what's it like to be thrown at somebody, and what is the journey? That'd be an interesting story. I am color.
I think it's very exciting. They
Could
would be
be.
very happy. Oh, yay!
Yeah.
Freedom!
I met an author once, and she had a she used to give writing classes, and she one of the subjects was I Am a Pizza.
Oh, wow.
To the story of your life from a pizza's perspective, you know, from the point of being made to the point of being stuck into the oven to the point of being eaten. Yeah.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, so it's always a it's always a perspective I've loved to play with. Anyway, so you were very prolific before you're going to lift the lid now and tell us how it went, or shall we keep that till the end?
I can tell you. But before I get to that, there was another station that was actually like a foam pit. So it looked like a foam party in the middle of the street.
Oh my
Yes.
God.
I avoided that one because I didn't want to get my feet wet.
But the best thing in the entire run, and you take a detour.
Just next to it on the grass.
Shame on you. God, you allow us
There were.
no fun.
I did. I went through all the different colors. But this foam pit, there was a boy on a bicycle. So he went through it with his bicycle, but he was covered from his head down to the bicycle's wheels in foam.
Oh, wow.
That was very interesting.
I've never been to a foam party, so okay. Yeah, okay, so you avoided the foam party, and then what happened after that? How was the run?
That was an uphill. We had to run up and up and up and up and up until we get to the next stop, and then we had to turn right, and then there was some more uphills, up and up and up and up, and then once you turn there, it's downhill again.
Okay. So you ran,
I suffered.
you suffered.
I suffered.
This is the first I hear of this one.
I know. I included it in my article.
Okay.
It's a valuable lesson that I learned. Two, actually. One of them is I need to run on tar road more because I've been training on grass and it's a lot easier. It's a lot softer, doesn't hurt your knees and your hips as much. But the tar road is very, very hard in comparison. So my feet were killing me, my knees were killing me. And then for the uphills, I did practice, so I did train a little bit on the uphills, but not enough. I suffered. So,
Was that an inspiration for you, this suffering? Or was it
no, it was demotivating. And you get kids, like 14-year-old kids with legs for days. Lungs like whales, and they just run as if nothing can bother them past you. There they go.
I know the
So
feeling in a slightly different context.
that's another lesson learned. You can't compete with a 14-year-old with legs for days.
Fair enough. Would you want to?
They can still talk to each other. They have a conversation, and I'm here. Can barely breathe. And they talk to each other. So yeah, I have to train a little bit harder.
Okay. So the kids were not an inspiration either. They were a
No.
demotivation,
Yeah.
but the inspiration can be derived that what they can do, you can do better. It'll just take a little longer to get there.
No, not even. I will never be on that level. Maybe
Anyway.
when I was 14.
Okay. So put us out of your misery. How long did you run for, and what was the final result?
That is the other problem. My watch has the button is here on the side. So
Okay.
as I was running, I think I bumped into someone and then my watch stopped. So I have no idea what my time was, which is okay. I'm okay with
Okay.
that. And it was a 5 kilometer So you had to do the same loop twice.
Okay.
So twice past the foam pit, twice past the different colors. And then at some stops, they also had some water. There was some cola as well, and some snacks, bananas, and some candy and things just for energy.
Just medicinal purposes, yeah.
yes. But with my training, also something that I learned with the cycling, you have to drink a lot of water. But if it's early mornings, and sometimes you can push a little bit longer without water. So with my trainings, I would do my run in the mornings and then only drink water afterwards. Sometimes I would drink water before, but that it's not good for my bladder.
Well, it might speed you up a little bit.
It slows me down like badly. Because that's all I can think about. I need a loo. I need a loo. But anyway, so I trained myself to run around it. Okay, sorry. The dog just squeezed itself through the door. He's a bit overweight. Anyways, so I trained myself to run without water for about 5 kilometers. So after the run, I got my medal. I took a bottle of water, but then I wanted coffee. Because I also didn't drink coffee the morning before the run, also because of the loo. But also because I try to avoid coffee very early in the morning. And before the run, you drink coffee, you have caffeine, you have energy, and then you run out of it very quickly.
Okay, so you did the 5 kilometers and you got a medal. Now, was that because you was that a medal of participation, or was it because you
I
came?
think it's participation. I actually
Okay.
have it here. So
Da-da,
very
okay.
small, it says Meyerton Colour Run and the most colourful event in the
Voila.
Vaal.
Okay.
Yes. So everybody got a medal. It doesn't matter if you ran fast or slow or walked or rode your bicycle. Everybody
Okay.
got a medal.
So how many actually took part? Do you know?
I think it was about 600,
Wow.
600 people. Yes.
Wow, that's
If
a lot of.
I have to guess, I think it was about 600.
Okay.
Yes.
So how do you,
I
I
mean, I
mean,
should actually ask my mom if she knows how many people participated.
you got the medal, as a token gesture for participating in it. Did that make you feel good that you got
Yes,
the
of course.
medal?
I didn't even know you get a medal if you do it.
Oh, all
Yes,
right.
I didn't even know, so I was very impressed. Now I can
Okay.
add it with my other medals.
Here's one I got earlier, yeah. Okay. Now, people who know you a little bit, of course, know that running is not one of your favorite pastimes.
Yes.
So kudos for the fact that you actually did something that you do not really enjoy.
I have to say, I'm starting to like it a bit more, but I think it's also because of like all the feel good chemicals and getting outside fresh air. I think that kind of makes a big difference. Because I went for a run yesterday and I did hills. I only did 2.5 kilometers, but my legs killed me.
I mean, I have a lot of questions actually on that topic, which I might weave in later, but I was having a drink with my mother last night, and she asked the horror question, are you getting out? Are you getting any exercise done? And I looked at her and I said, with all the chaos that's going on at the moment, when am I supposed to be doing that? in the mornings. I said no.
Because it's too cold now at
Well,
the
not only what's what it's not too well, yes, I suppose it's too cold, but you can wear some clothes, and if you move, you
Yes,
get
you.
warm, blood circulation warms you up.
Yes.
It's just dark. It's 7 o'clock. It's still like night here.
Yes.
So in one of the articles, you said, you wrote "Take tiny steps."
Yes.
Now, I think you announced your intention to do this color run about 4 weeks before the. So I think about the end of October. I don't know how long the
Yes.
decision process sort of gestated with you before then, but on the something around end of October, said, "I'm going to do this color run on the 29th of November," and I
My
am.
mom, I think my mom sent the invitation on the 28th,
Okay.
27th or 28th, and I decided I'm going to do it. So it
Okay.
wasn't, it didn't take me a long time to decide.
Okay. So the so so what were the actual tiny steps that you took leading up to this color run, and which one mattered more than you expected?
Definitely the training that mattered the most. But that was also the tiny step. So starting with walking and running and walking and running with a training program. And then I also sent it to my husband and I said, listen, do you think I can do this? And he said, yes, of course.
Good question.
Yes. I said, yes, of course, it's easy, you can do it. And the beginning it wasn't easy, but I think the most difficult part was to stay in the routine, like to run and rest and also do some other exercises in between, core and strength and arms and other things I hate, like squats and lunges. But it helped. It helped. But the tiny steps with one very important one is not to overtrain. So on the first day, you say, I'm going to do a 5 kilometer run. You do a 5 kilometer run and your legs are dead the next day and you are stiff for 2 weeks. So
But you ran
start.
5 kilometers, yeah.
You ran 5 kilometers on your first day of exercise. Great. But then you can't run for the next 2 weeks. So small steps, like doing short distances and walking when you feel tired and walking to catch your breath, and that helped me a lot.
Okay.
Yes.
There's no magic wand in this. You didn't have any
No.
fancy shoes. There was no quick
Mm-mm.
fix. All you do is just move, run, walk, do some exercises.
Stick to the
S stick to the plan.
plan. I can't Harry Potter my way through
So when did the truth of the enormity of this challenge actually hit you during the training?
it. I don't know. I don't think it's. For me, it was simple. It was easy all the apart from doing the 5 kilometer run and having to run uphills and dig deep to push through it, and then feeling demotivated at some point when the kids come running past. But also to realize that I can't compete with the kids. Now, yes, they have longer legs. Yes, they've been running for longer. I've only been running for a month, and I have to do that in between
Yeah, I mean.
the rain and the work, and so. But I don't think there was ever a moment that I thought I quit. I don't think there's like I don't want to do this, or why did I do it? I didn't regret it, and still now I'm not regretting it. But I do have a crazy idea.
Okay.
Yes, no, I've been doing some research.
You're going to do
And
the
I went,
Joburg. You're going to do a
no.
Joburg marathon, yeah.
No, not marathons, no. But maybe like a 10 kilometers.
Okay.
I want to be fit enough and strong enough to do a 10 kilometer run.
Okay.
Next year sometime, I will enter for another race as motivation. There's one in April, I think the 26th of April, here close to us. Maybe.
Is that maybe the secret? Because I'm looking at myself. So as you know, I got dragged up a hill in South Korea, and I came down for the worse for it. But it sort of opened my eyes, and sadly, to my I haven't actually done anything about it. So it's still very much in the theory,
Yes.
but. The fact that you're looking at entering a race, is that the secret to success? That you're actually not just doing something for the sake of it, but that you're doing something in order to almost finalize the achievement, and that you take part in a race, you train for it, and at the end you get a reward in the sense of a medal or a certificate or something. Is that is
Banana.
banana?
I'm going to send you a video.
Okay. Looking forward to it.
It's also a running video. My husband shared it with me where this lady, I think she did a marathon, and then the question was, why do you do it? And then she says, for a medal. And then in the Minions movie, they like bananas very much. And then there was this queen that they motivated with a
Okay.
banana. So she does it for a medal and a banana.
Well, whatever rocks your boat, yeah, or floats your boat, yeah. Okay,
Yes.
but
But in all seriousness, no.
no, okay. So
So why I like to enter for a race, and that's also something that I did with the cycling. It's like a method of motivation. So you paid your 100 rand or 200 rand or 300 rand entry fee. You have to commit to that.
yeah.
You can't throw away your money and just say, ah, it's okay. So in a way, it forces you to exercise. To train harder, to do the difficult things, to push through, because if you don't do that, obviously you are going to suffer on that day. Either lose your money or suffer running or cycling. So for me, it's a kind of motivation. So not really a sense of like accomplishment or to show the achievement. It's just a way to motivate myself. So then I
Okay.
know I have to do this. I have to wake up to go and run. If I don't have that, then it's I get lazy.
Okay.
But that's also why I want to start doing the park runs on a Saturday. So park runs are also 5 kilometers. It's on grass, so it's a lot softer. And it's timed. So once you enter, they don't charge you anything to enter for the park runs, but you have to register. And then it's timed running. There's people who walk it as well, but obviously with the running, you will get more fit and you can see your
Okay.
times.
Well, when you do your first park run, make sure that no one tampers with your watch here, so that you've got at least an idea how long it's going to take. Yeah. And then you wrote probably what's my favorite article on this whole story was "Hang with Balloons," and that was probably the favorite one.
Okay.
Who lifted you, or what lifted you during this this training season, and were there any bricks that weighed you down, apart from the fact that the weather didn't quite lay ball the way you
I
wanted
would
it?
say the weather was a brick and the wet shoes and the wet feet. There was that one man that I saw that morning where he said, when I asked him, how are you? And he said, I am the best. I think he was a balloon. He was definitely a balloon.
Have you seen him again since?
No, I haven't.
Oh.
I haven't seen him. I think he's also a part of the motivation to keep going. Because I think I mentioned it to you, he was a little bit overweight, he was out of breath, but he kept running and running and running. And as I drove into the sports center, I saw him run, and I parked and got myself ready, made sure my shoelaces were tied twice, put on my search for my Spotify playlist and put in my earphones and whatever, and he was running and running. I think he did about four laps around without stopping, and
While
then
you were getting yourself
while
organized.
I was getting myself organized, and then when I asked him, "How are you?" "I am the best." So I even on the color run on Saturday when I did the uphills, I told myself, "I'm the best. I'm the best." But then also there's a lady I follow on Instagram. She lives in Durban, and she also started running. She was also very much overweight when she started running. She lost a lot of weight, and she at the moment she can run 10 kilometers. So I left a comment on one of her posts, because she said she did a run. She wanted to do a 5 kilometer in like 32 minutes or something in those lines. So the one day she managed to do it, and the next day she couldn't do it. So I left a comment to say that you need to rest. You need to give your body some time to relax and to recover as well. Even if it's just one day, then try another day. So that is what I've noticed. If I do, even with the cycling as well, if you rest for 1 or 2 days before a race or before going out again, you feel much stronger. And that is why with the cycling, we would exercise maybe the Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, Thursday, nothing, Friday, nothing, and then Saturday would be the race, or maybe Sunday would be the race. And then when you have the race, you feel much stronger because your muscles had time to recover. And it's the same with running. So I would run during the week, Saturday and Sunday, no running, but then Monday back to running. And then I would run better, and my time would be much faster than previously. So that's why I gave her the advice to say that try rest and then try to run again in the time that you want. And she responded. I think she actually sent me a message, like
Oh, yeah.
a direct message.
Okay.
Yes. So I think she's also a balloon. She is very funny. She has very funny videos. And she complains about like running groups. She calls them the elite runners because they judge you on your gear and your watch and your shoes. And she just wants people that's fun to run with.
But Durban's a bit far away for you just to pop down
Yes,
and
that's
do a bit of a 10K run with
600
her.
kilometers.
Yeah, exactly. So, what did you learn about motivation in these 4 weeks that you were that you didn't already know from your cycling days? Because I mean, cycling is one thing, and running because you didn't really like it at first, you had to warm to it. What did you learn about your own motivation or motivation in general?
There's also another man on Instagram. I don't know where he lives. I think for some reason I think he lives in Brazil. And one of his videos said how to get better at running. And then he would gear up and he would put on his shoes and his running vest with all his gels and energy things and whatever else. And then he would say, "You have to
There's only so much you can do in prep. At one stage, you've got to actually move yourself forward.
Exactly. It doesn't matter what you are wearing, it doesn't matter how many energy gels you suck down or you have to actually run. I think that was the motivation. Apart from being able to run 5 kilometers, I think you have to run. So realizing that you actually have to do this. You can't say, I'm going to do it and just sit back and hope it happens.
So you this could be a generational thing, or this could be a Frank thing. So you actually actively sought out other people on social media and connected with them, and so they sort of became you somewhere along the line you mentioned a rainbow, that you became each other's rainbow, cheering each other up, on making jokes, motivating each other, perhaps.
I think the jokes is part of the motivation. But the funny thing is, I wasn't even actually actively looking for these people on social media. If I go onto Instagram, scroll through a couple of videos, and then I would see someone running. But I think that also has to do with all this new technology, listening in on your conversations. And I think that's how I came across a lot of these people. Like there's one woman, she's South African. She does the Comrades Marathon in Cape Town. I think she won it 3 or 4 times or 5 times in a row. And I actually came across an article of her. She lives in Switzerland. She lives in Switzerland. Or somewhere in Europe. She trains there. She runs up the mountains and up the hills, and then she comes back to South Africa to do the South African competitions. And she wins them.
And she wins them as well.
She wins them as well, yes.
Wow.
So Gerda Steyn. I came across the article of her, and then I actually searched for her on Instagram. After I read her article, because it was actually that was also inspiring. Like she also mentioned she never used to run. She didn't run in school. She didn't do athletics in school. She didn't like it. And then she started running and. Well, I don't know if she's aimed for a 5 kilometer, but the Comrades is like almost 100 kilometers. Yes. I don't want to do that.
Well, there used to be a member in the community, a Brazilian chap called Igor. He lives in Los Angeles now, and he did actually a 100-mile marathon.
Oh, wow. Ouch. No.
So 160K. So that's and it took him
That's a
over
lot.
it took him over 24 hours, but he
I
stuck
did
it
it on a
through.
bicycle and it was bad. Yeah, I can't imagine running
No.
that.
So I mean, part of all of this is, you don't have to be perfect, but you have to be consistent.
Yes.
And that seems to be the key to it all.
Yes.
And I suppose you got a lot from that from your cycling days. That consistency was
Yes.
the key. But of course, there is a gap between when you stopped cycling and now you've taken up running.
Yes.
So what did you relearn about consistency? That
Patience.
patience, patience. So lo so
Yes.
lower so lo rephrase that. Lower your expectations.
Yes. Yes, but also patience because it doesn't happen overnight. You don't get fit overnight. You don't get strong overnight. You don't have a long breath overnight. You have to work on that. And the same with when you run, like I went running on the tar road, my legs hurt. Even Saturday after the color run. My legs were paining. I was in pain, more muscle pain, and my feet as well. My feet hurt as well. My ankles hurt. But that's because of the difference in training, running on a field and running on the tar road.
Okay.
And I learned from that. But also patience to know that I can't go running for the next day because my muscles are already sore and painful, and I'm just going to strain them even more if I go for another run. I'm not on that level to do that yet. Maybe later, yes, but so I need some time to recover after that.
I mean, looking at it from my perspective, 5 kilometers is quite a daunting distance.
It's
Did you?
actually not. I've been thinking about that a lot. 5 kilometers is not that
I mean, it's from where I live to the next biggest town, which is Visenburg, and that's 7 kilometers away. And it's and I mean, you have you, you we could actually you could actually do that because there is a tar path from here to Visenburg, and it goes up and down hills. And
Ouch.
I've walked it numerous times.
Yes.
It takes about an hour to walk.
Yes.
It's a beautiful walk. But sort of five, so 5 kilometers is achievable, yeah, if you.
Yes, it's achievable. And it's really not that far. I've been telling myself that a lot. Like 5 kilometers is not that far. I'm gonna walk it easily. Running, it's questionable. No, but I think no, it's really not that far, and I think that is why I thought about the idea to do a 10 kilometer run. So I do have some lessons to learn, and I do have a lot of training, not just some, a lot of training to do before I can do a 10 kilometer. But I think I want to push myself to try that.
So you're a little bit addicted, yeah? Or is it
That's the
simply,
problem.
or
That's the
is
problem
it?
when I start something.
Ah, okay.
I get
Because
addicted.
I mean, there is a serious side to this. Because a couple of months ago, you actually did get a bit of a health scare,
Yes.
where you thought, well, okay, I need to ship up and shape up and change a few things.
Yes.
That's probably the kernel where this whole thing started, maybe, or
It's part of it. It is part of it, but the other part is also, or the other side of it is, I need to get out. I need to. I always, if I'm not working, I spend time with my husband or my son. It doesn't matter what time of day, it doesn't matter which day. And something that I did realize is that I need to find something that I can do that also fits into my schedule. But to have some time alone.
meet
It sounds
yeah
terrible, but
no
me
no no
time.
no no it 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 no it doesn't because you both work from home,
Yes.
you're constantly sort of sounds horrible, but I'm going to say it anyway, cooped up in the same space, and
Yes.
people need to get away from each other in order to, what does it, distance make the heart grow fonder or something like that,
Yes,
yeah.
absence makes the
Heart grow
heart grow
fonder, yeah.
Yes,
So,
like healthy space.
yeah. And if you do something for your fitness as well, then that's it.
Yes.
But of course, as most of us now know, you just can't go anywhere and start running because there's always this security or safety aspect that you have to factor in. And
Yes.
how did that evolve? Because I remember you saying that you and your husband first went to the place where you wanted to train to check it out if everything's okay, and then you started becoming a fixture in the sort of local area with in some you recognized some people, they recognized you, so that
Yes.
established. So how does, for us who who just can't think in this kind of context because we just walk out the door and it's no problem. How does it, how did all this evolve for you?
Yes, that was a problem to find a space to run. But the sports center, there's a restaurant there, and then they have the squash courts, and they have a bowling club. And then at the gate, they have a security station. There's at least two or three security guards that I've seen there in the time that I run. And then there's our municipality takes care of this of these grounds. So they drop off. I know their routine by now. They drop off the workers at 10 to 8. Oh, yes, 10 to 8 in the mornings. So I would be busy running, and then I would see, oh, there comes the municipality, drop off the people, and then they go. And then the people from the restaurant starts coming in at 8 o'clock. So I know their routines because I pay attention. But the whole place is, so the one side is the river, and you can't actually go swimming through the river. It's quite deep and dangerous. And then the other side is fenced off. So it's closed with fences, and there's also a security gate that they lock it in the oh, at night after the restaurant closes. But the person who opens the restaurant is usually there before I arrive. So then the gate is open again. But for safety, I think that is well, my friend said I should just remember not everywhere is safe enough. Or it's not too safe. But there's some parts that I would avoid. So in the last couple of days running there, I did start running down to the river and going back. Because it does have like a slope down to the river, and then you have to go up again. So that helps with the heel training. But I do try to avoid the places where there's overgrowth and bushy and you can't see, just for my own safety.
I mean that is that, just listening to you, and it's not the first time we've talked about this kind of scenario.
Yes.
I, you know, after all these months, I still am surprised at these comments of yours. I just can't get it into my head.
I did run up the street also on Wednesday. So I went running up the street because it also has a little bit of an incline. I went all the way to the corner shop and then turned around and came back down. That was also about 2.3 kilometers. But my husband also asked me, did I see anyone on the road? Do I think it's safe enough to run? But yes, it is safe. I saw about two or three people walking in the street. But as I ran, I would constantly be looking around me, like if there's anyone hiding or any movements, what a person I've missed or something. You have to like pay close attention to what's going on around you so you don't get yourself in trouble.
So basically, if you need to get some milk from the corner shop, you jump into your car and drive the 2 kilometers,
Yes.
whereas someone here might
Like one and a half up and oh, 1.2 up and 1.2
1.2
down.
down.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
Not because we are lazy, but because it's not always safe.
Okay. I still can't get my head around that one, but okay.
Baffled, yes.
I'm still baffled, yeah.
So what we also started doing is we'd take my son so that he can ride his bicycle, but then my husband would walk, I would run, and my son would be on his bicycle. But then we'll also just go up the street around the corner, and then we'll do two blocks down and then come back down again. So that's about 1.3 kilometers, so it's not that far there and back. But we're also a bit careful there because there's a lot of bushes. and they are building new houses, so there's a lot of people moving around there as well.
All right. So you got the security situation. You had what you absolutely detest, wet shoes, because it rained a
Yes.
lot. And you sort of you turned in your articles, you sort of turned this discomfort into imagery, you know, rain clouds, penguins waddling into the ocean, and stuff like that. Beautifully written. When it got really horrible for you to do this, because, you know, everything was working against you, what story did you tell yourself to keep going? Is this when your mind starts working? Well, I need to write this, and I can, you know, I can imagine a penguin waddling across the street in South Africa.
Actually not. There was something that I learned when I was cycling, that sometimes you need to slow down, stop, and smell the flowers. So when things got really bad or really tough, I would look around to see or to look at the little flowers all over. And I've actually noticed quite a few different ones. Like wildflowers. One of them was a river, it's a orange river lily. Sorry, I just want to help the dog to get out. He's stuck again.
Okay.
So I saw the river lily. There was actually two, and they only grow at a certain time of year. And they're actually pink. So
Okay.
the name Orange River comes from the Orange River that flows through South Africa.
Right.
And then there's some other wildflowers. I don't even know what they are called. But different sizes, big ones, small ones, pink, white, yellow, purple. So when things get tough, I just look at the grass, look down in the field to spot these little flowers. And I think that helped me to keep going.
Okay. Mindset, your favorite word.
Yes.
Failure isn't a dead end. Failure is information. Was there a moment when your trading felt like a failure, and you what?
On the color on, yes.
Oh, okay. And what did you learn from it?
The failure was obviously not doing enough inclines or hills, and also not running enough on hard surfaces like tar road. No, those were the two things that I learned. You have to run more uphills and you have to run on hard surfaces.
Okay. All
Yes.
right. So you've done the run. You've got your medal. You feel physically better.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I did lose a little bit of weight. The scale doesn't say so, but my clothes, it's a lot looser than it was.
Okay.
I feel a lot more comfortable. So that's a big bonus. But overall, I feel healthier and happier as well.
Okay, so because that's the emotional side. So you know you've got the physical side, but also, you know, that you've got this all important me time, you know, time just for yourself. You know,
Yes.
how's that manifested itself in your emotions and well-being, bien-être, as we like to say here.
Obviously it helps to relieve stress. So less stress, less worry, I think. And it also helps with like energy levels. Even though some days I'm very tired, I just want to go to bed. But overall, it clears your mind and it gives you some energy and just feel happy and healthier and
I
can
mean,
keep going.
that's an interesting observation. So when Natalie dragged me around Seoul a couple of weeks ago, I could and we did an inordinate amount of walking, and
Yes.
most of it actually was on hard bitumen and tarmac and so on.
Yes.
I could really feel the energy levels increase.
Yes.
I'm back at home, and there have been some issues. Which have been sort of occupying me and my time,
Yes.
and not very pleasant. And you could really see, I could feel how this energy is sucked out.
Yes.
So in Seoul, I had not overcome any jet lag. So in Seoul, I actually had trouble sleeping because I felt so, I wanted to bounce off the walls and yippee, I've got all
Yes.
this energy. And here I crawl into bed because I just want to, pull the duvet over my head and say, go away, because I'm fed up with all the stuff that's going on.
Yes.
So that is something, and probably sort of I've noticed from my own experience, doing a lot of walking a couple of years ago, there is a point where you just want to go out. In fact, it feels so normal
Yes.
that
Yes.
you feel bad if you don't do
If you don't do it, yes. Yes, but I think it's also because it helps you to focus and to concentrate, and you think about the things that are the most important, or what is important. How can I do this? How can I do that? So in a way, it's also a thinking process, but it helps you to clear your mind, to focus, to f you don't feel stress, you have more energy, and I think that is something that I need or needed without even realizing that.
Take us back to that very first morning. So your mother gave you the flyer, and you made the decision. I'm going to do this 29th of November. I'm going to go on this color run, come hell and high water.
Yes.
So between you making the decision and you actually putting on your running gear, opening the door and getting into the car and driving, and then that first step, take us through that process.
So when my mom sent the poster, I told my husband I'm going to do this. And he was skeptical at first about where I am going to run. And then I mentioned the sports grounds. So we went to check out the sports grounds, and then it was raining. So we couldn't get out of the car and go for a walk, but we checked it out and we agreed that it's okay. Let's try it and see how it goes. So that Friday morning, I dropped my son off at school, and then I went to the sports ground dressed in my running gear. And I started running, but I felt a bit uncomfortable on the first day, and I felt unsure because I wasn't actually sure if I am allowed to run here. I was thinking about, sooner or later somebody's going to come and tell me you can't run here. Sorry, ma'am, you need to leave or you have to pay us or something.
Oh, dear hell.
So even though it's quite a public space or public area, and it's open to anyone, not a lot of people go there. So I think that's why I was a bit worried. And the sign on the gate says they open at 11 and they close at 7 or something. And I'm there like
Eight
just
o'clock
past
in the morning.
7. But the gate is open. So if the gate is open, I can go in.
Exactly. That's an invitation, yeah.
Yes. I started, but even the security, the people working there, they started greeting me later on and recognized their faces and so on. But on that first day, I felt unsure, not about the running, but about the place. I also kept looking around, pay attention, even now if I go, pay attention to what's going on around me. And with running, I think After the first day, I thought, why am I doing this? But then I actually felt very good. And the next day, when I wasn't as sore and stiff as I would usually be, because I would push my limits to 5 kilometers and then I can't walk for 2 weeks. So the next morning, that was a Saturday. So I didn't go running on the Saturday or the Sunday, but I went back on the Monday. So at first I thought, I don't think I want to run today. But I drove there anyway and I decided, okay, let's see how it goes. So I got out, started my music, started running, and the more I or the longer I ran, the better I felt. And even the days I was tired in the mornings or I didn't feel like running, I did it anyway.
Yeah,
Yes.
I think the takeaway, and this is something that I did this morning at this meeting that I went to. So there was another person there who had the Nike t-shirt, and he had "Just Do It" written on the front.
Yes.
And when I introduced myself and what we do, I said, and I asked him. So his name is Yannick. I said, "Yannick, could you stand up, please?" And I said, "Look, learning English or practicing English is easy." And I pointed to him, "Just do it." Yeah. And then I chose somebody and on the other side of the table, said, "Do you speak English?" "Well, just a little." And I said, "Okay, so what's your name?" "My name is so and so. Where do you live?" "I live there now." I said, "Well, just do it. It works, no problem." Yeah. And
Yes.
I think sort of the inspirational part is you've just got to do it.
Yes.
You need your support, you need your your balloons, throw away the bricks. You need the people on social media who can keep you sort of interested and help you with
Yes.
ideas. Family to support you, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I think just to share the experience, yeah.
Yes.
And I mean, you did that within Breeder. You wrote about it. We talked about it a lot. Yeah.
Yes.
How's it going? And then on the Saturday morning, the 29th, you went out and you came back. Yeah. And
Yes.
and now you're raising the bar and want to go for a 10K.
Yes.
Yeah. And we will whip you down the path. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
Because
I need that.
yeah.
Oh, I
So
saw my mom yesterday and she also asked me, are you going to continue running? So I'm like, yeah. Even if I didn't like it, or even if I still don't like it sometimes, I'm definitely going to continue.
yeah, and I mean, I think that the biggest takeaway, because we all do things that take us out of our comfort zone, and
Yes.
deliberately or by accident, and you speak of the people that that may make your experience negative, the security issues in South Africa.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, they are a minority. Yes,
Yes.
they can inflict a lot of pain and damage.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's what scares us, yeah, because
Yes.
we don't want to be hurt or we don't want to lose something. Yeah. But the positive mindset is that there are a lot of people who will support you, who will encourage you, who will give you with, some advice, and you may ever never actually meet them because they are in other countries far away or in different cities 600 kilometers away. But that is
Yes.
the power of positivity.
Yes.
And that is the inspiration, I think, that you can take away. You don't need a motivator who will give you a chant. Yeah.
Yes.
It's just people sharing an interest, talking about it.
Yes.
And that's where the real strength in all this lies. And that's the, I'm going to say this slightly vulgar. I need to get my ass into gear. Yeah. And at the moment, I'm taking the easy route. So, like my mother said, so what are you doing? I said, nothing. Why? Because I'm too busy. I've got so much other stuff going on. Yeah.
Yes.
Is that an excuse, or is that just me being lame?
I used it as well. I'm too busy. I don't have time. And then I decided to make time.
There you go. There you go.
So, I think we just have to make time for these things.
Exactly. And the acid test, I mean, it's the middle of winter here now, and winter hasn't even started. We're still technically in autumn.
It's a no for me.
Well, this is the acid test, you know. How are you going to do, how are you going to perform all of this in your winter, which is like our spring, yeah, or sometimes even our summer? Whereas if you were at this side of the equator, I mean, it's gray, it's damp, it's miserable, it's cold, it's about 2 degrees outside. Not the weather a Fruit Loop likes to be outside in.
I was actually thinking about that just the other day. And I think if I put my mind to it, I can do a run in the afternoons, like mid-afternoon, like lunchtime. So I don't have to run in the mornings and I don't have to run at night
Right.
when
Okay.
it's too cold. But in the afternoons, it's a bit more reasonable.
Okay, but you said the magic words, when I put my mind to it. And that's all it
Yes.
is. It's mindset.
That's all
It's
it is.
okay. Fruit Loop. Thank you for inspiring us. I hope I'm going to get an almighty kick up the backside from you. Have you done anything yet? Yeah, have you? I think I need to buy myself a pair of running shoes. I think that's the first thing. So I'll start with walking.
Yeah, start with walking.
And then I'll beat you down the 100K marathon sometime in the future.
No. I think the furthest that I would push myself is a 21 kilometer, but like a half marathon.
Half marathon. Okay. Well,
Yes, but
it's now official. Fruit Loop is going to push
two,
herself.
three, 4 years down the line.
Oh.
Now I will focus on 10 kilometers.
All right. Well, we'll be there to support you and push you along.
Thank you.
Okay, so that's Peeling Potatoes 28, the
Yes.
second to last one of the year. Episode 29 next week.
Yes.
20th of December. Pretty much, no, not the 20th, but pretty much 9 months since you discovered Breeder and decided to just make it a bit different. So
Change it up a little bit.
rough it up a little bit. So
Shake it a little bit.
next week, 9 months, Fruit Loop and Breeder and what's been happening and how you felt about it and what you enjoyed and dare I say what you're going to do next year to us.
That sounds good.
Yeah. Okay. Right. So, thanks for your inspiration. Thanks for all your
My pleasure.
advice. Yeah.
It's my pleasure.
And we'll take it up again next week. Bye.
Bye.